Mary's lips pressed together into a thin line through her visor.
Okay. We go from room to room together, clearing each and locking it behind us.
Can they bore through the hatches?
That would be excellent intel to have right now. We'll see. Let's check all the way aft first. Maybe someone made it into an escape pod.
I stepped past her into the next chamber, an all-purpose area that had some scientific equipment set up. It had a bathroom and a galley. Both were unoccupied. The armor that the crew should have been wearing was piled in a corner next to the bathroom, and the infrared goggles that would have allowed the crew to see the creatures and wouldn't fit our helmets were stowed in a box underneath a table. In the center of the back wall was a pair of doors that led to the engineering area and the escape pods. A rudimentary machine shop was incorporated in the engineering area, and it had been thrashed by someone desperate for any kind of weapon. And that someone was dead, face down like the Saurian, but with a wrench within centimeters of his right hand. Nakari gasped when she saw the body.
I know him. Knew him.
Was he the pilot?
No, a scientist. I was on a collection crew with him once.
I don't see any blood on the wrench, I said. Though I don't know what skull borer blood looks like. Impossible to tell if he scored a hit with it or not.
If he wasn't already holding it, and the skull borer landed on his unprotected head, he probably wouldn't have had time enough, considering how fast they drilled through armor.
I winced.
Good point.
Moving in tandem, we checked both escape pods and the remainder of the engineering compartment. No more crew, and no dead skull borer bodies.
Nakari?
What?
It's likely there's one in here, right? The door was closed.
Not necessarily. It could have escaped when someone else entered or left. And we can't assume they're too dim to figure out the doors. The crew might not have coded them locked and simply allowed them to function with the press of a button. The creatures were smart enough to bore out of their cages in an organized fashion.
At least one row of them was.
Yeah. Well, nothing's jumped on us, and you have to think anything trapped in here would be hungry. So let's call this clear and move forward. But we'll do the starboard cargo bay before we head up into the living quarters and the bridge.
Okay.
We exited the engineering compartment, and Nakari strode to the starboard cargo bay doors, which she tried to open with a single touch. A red light stopped her, and a chirp demanded the full code. She carefully punched it in with one hand, while bracing two stun sticks in the other. The doors slid aside, and I stepped in, arms out for balance as much as readiness. The bay contained more pallets of equipment, and a couple of speeder bikes coated in lavender dust, but no bodies of any kind, and no brain-sucking predators that we could see. Considering their natural camouflaging abilities, I wondered if we had truly cleared the room so far, or merely caught them napping. If a skull borer remained quiet, how would we know it was there?
You know, after we clear the ship this way, I want to go through it again with just one stun stick and a portable scanner to make sure we didn't miss any that might be hiding.
Good call. Ready to go forward?
Yeah. How many cabins?
8 of them. 4 on each side of the hallway leading to the bridge. But first there should be a common lounge area.
Her fingers hovered over the data pad next to the door.
All set?
Raising my arms, I said,
go!
And she pressed the door release. It wasn't locked like the cargo bay doors, so it slid aside quickly and gave me my first view of the carnage. There were 3 bodies. One of them, a jowly, thick-lipped Sulliston male, was still seated in a lounge chair with a data pad in his lap, the large orbs of his eyes open and filmed over in death. He'd been killed before he could get up. A human female slumped lifeless near the hatch leading to the cabins, and nearby a horned Zabrak male lay face down blocking the door leading to the medical bay, the back of his head an open bloody mess, albeit a dry mess at this point.
They have to be in here,
I said, moving forward to allow Nakari to follow me inside.
Some of them, anyway.
The helmet wouldn't allow a decent range of motion, but I saw some scratches and smears of blood high up on the bulkheads. The skull borers couldn't camouflage their tracks. The door hissed shut behind us, and I paused, expecting an attack at any second. But the time ticked by, and none came.
Let's secure the medical bay before we go forward,
Nakari said. Zabrak have some horns on their heads, but they are short and stubby, and obviously no deterrent to a skull borer, since they don't grow on the vulnerable pate. The Zabrak's body was half out of the bay, like the Saurian we had seen earlier. He'd been trying to exit, perhaps seeking help when the skull borer brought him down. Peering past his body into the bay, I could see an examination table and the metal arms of various scanners and surgical tools. Such bays were customized for multi-species crews like this one and packed full of instruments and medicines that a human would never need. I thought that the tangle of apparatus suspended over the examination table would be attractive to creatures that liked to lounge in branches waiting for prey to walk by.
That door should open up fully without a code, since it never closed.
Got it.
I thumped the console with my elbow.